One of the things that's difficult to do as a preacher is coming up with ideas to write about constantly. I know my wife complains that it's always hard to come up with some way of, what am I going to cook for dinner each month? Well, preachers have the same problem, only it's, what am I going to talk about? And, you know, if you think about it, a typical preacher, depending on the situation, gives about 100 lessons per year. But we end up at times having writer's block. You know, finding and selecting topics can be hard. And even if all you need is an idea for next month's short talk because you're on the schedule, sometimes that's difficult. So I wanted to look at that a little bit today. One of the things that we need to keep in mind is that all sermons have to be rooted in God's teachings. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We have to preach the word. That's what we're here for. It has to be from the scriptures. Another passage, one of the ones I really like, I have it on my business cards, is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, whoever speaketh to do so is one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So then all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Therein lies the point as why we need to focus on God's word. When we're teaching what God has said, then God gets the glory. I've seen and listened to far too many lessons from mostly denominational preachers where you'd be lucky if there's one verse in the entire lesson. How does that give glory to God? When it's mostly about somebody's opinions, and oftentimes they're statements about current political situations and things like that. But how do you come up with ideas for lessons? Well, one is that we have basic themes that need to be talked about. In Jude verse 3, Jude says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Jude wrote about our common salvation. Here's a topic that needs to be talked about. It's something that's common across all churches in all times. How do you get saved? What is salvation? What aspects of that? Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. What did Paul start out with when he taught places? He taught the very fundamentals, the basics. He taught about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's fundamental to everything that we are as Christians, to understand the importance of what Christ did for us. But we can't just stay there. But the Hebrew writer mentions also in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Here are a list of fundamental teachings. These are things that all Christians need to know. Now, we don't spend all our time there, because otherwise none of us would grow. One of the things that I found quite shocking when I, years ago, visited the Philippines, I went to all sorts of various congregations, and it was amazing. They could tell you about the five steps to salvation. They had that absolutely, totally memorized, because all these American preachers, every time they came, they talked about the five steps to salvation. They had it down pat. But I had long arguments about with the local preachers about whether pornography was right, whether it was proper for someone to go visit a prostitute or not. We had arguments about the drinking of blood. Why? You know, those topics are kind of clear in the New Testament. It's because nobody ever taught about them. They stuck to the five steps of salvation, and they had that down. They never got beyond that. So while fundamental issues are important and we need to talk about them, we can't stay there. Another idea for lessons is those pressing issues. Going back to Jude again. Let's look at why Jude wanted to talk about their common salvation. In Jude verse 3 again, it says, "Beloved, I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation. I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long ago beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." Notice what had happened. False teachers had crept in and started teaching things that were contrary to what Christ taught. It was time for them to contend for their salvation. Contend for their faith. And so issues that are brought up because there are false teachers who are out there. Those are issues that we need to talk about. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 11, it says, "For I've been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Cleo's people, that there are quarrels among you." And he started talking about the various issues that arose because they were just fighting among each other. There are going to be times when issues rise up in the church. They need to be addressed. They need to be talked about. Even if an issue hasn't hit a congregation yet, it needs to be prepared. Because eventually, the way the world goes, especially with the internet, and things get spread real fast. We need to talk about those things that brethren are struggling with and talking about and having disputes about, so that we know what God says about it. Of course, there's always questions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says, "Now concerning the things which you wrote, it's good for a man not to touch a woman." And by that we understand that Paul received a large set of questions from the Corinthians. And part of that letter was addressing those questions. He went through a number of them. We don't know what the exact questions are. We know his answers to them. But no, we do that, like, for instance, on the website, but that can be also a thing that each of us need to understand. Because if one person has a question, I guarantee you there's a bunch of other people that have the similar question. They just haven't thought about how to phrase it or doesn't think about asking it yet. It's amazing when I do the website at times, I laugh sometimes, you know, you think there's something in the air. Because I'll get a question about some topic, and I'll get like two or three of them in a row. Within days of each other. And it's not like one saw the answer to the other one, because I hadn't got to the answer to the first one yet. But I get stacked up, you know, two or three on the same topic. People get interested in it and answer one, and you oftentimes address other people's questions as well. Another thing we can use as a source of topic material. When Paul visited Athens in Acts chapter 17, he had some time on his hands because the other brethren that he was with were not there. And it says, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city being full of idols. Well, here's then an opportunity. Here's the thing. You observe something, you see something, and you say, you know what, that'd make a good lesson to talk about that. That eventually ended up a discussion with the philosophers in Athens. And so I used to read the paper. I get the paper about twice a week now if I borrow somebody's. But a lot of times you find articles in there. Or you may find an article on Facebook or something like that. I got one downstairs that just recently somebody linked to, and I said, oh, that'd make a good short talk. You know, somebody, it was just observing something and saying, you know what, that's an idea. A lot of times I get ideas just sitting in Bible class. Somebody will mention something and it'll just trigger and say, ooh, that's an idea. And start jotting it down and putting it together. Observing what denominations are doing. Like, for instance, a good one just this last week, I don't know how many are aware of it, the United Methodists is splitting. They couldn't settle on the issue of homosexuality, so they're dividing up with the accepting and the non-accepting. And that's how they're going to divide it. That becomes a good basis for a topic. Similar to that, you don't have to just stick to the religious world. You can also go into the current events. Like, for instance, in Luke chapter 13, some people approach Jesus talking about the current news. Verse 13, it says, chapter 13, verse 1. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to him, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Do you see what Jesus just did? People came, did you hear what Pilate did? And he used that as a basis to say, you know what? You all need to repent. He got from current news and got to the topic of repentance. And he brings up another recent event about a tower falling to make the same point. A lot of times I don't want to look at the news. It's all bad. But sometimes we need that to know what's going on in the world, to be able to take a current event and then bring it to something you need to do about your life and about your relationship with God. So again, we can draw lesson material from news stories. We can also get lesson materials from other brethren. In Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to those faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Like, for instance, this particular lesson. I happened to see somebody else's lesson right upon it. And I said, you know what? This would make a good lesson. Passing it on. It's good material. It's good information. I can't say that all the ideas are original with me, but it's good material. But that's something we can use. So read what other people have written. Listen to lessons other people have preached. It might spark an idea of something that you can use. A lot of times when I pick up lessons, I end up starting out with something and then expanding on it and sometimes going a different direction than the original author. But it started out with an idea, a point that I wanted to make. I know when I was young, I had this idea that I was going to come up with a different lesson every week. I was always going to write something new. Got about 20, 30 years into it and realized, you know what? There's a whole bunch of lessons I need to repeat. Because people forget. And so sometimes you just need to bring up the things that you taught before. In 2 Peter, Peter mentions this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by the way of reminder. Notice, he's taught this before. But he said, you know what? As long as I'm still here, I need to remind you of some of these things. And this is important as well. As I said, most of us forget. And so we need periodic reminders. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 15, 2 Peter 1 verse 15, I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Repeat something often enough and people start remembering it. It becomes a part of their thinking. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he said, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following. Reminding is a part of being a minister, a part of being a preacher. The only thing that I would warn is that don't get obsessed about one topic. I've seen a lot of one-topic preachers. You know, where 2 out of 3 sermons are all on the same topic. There's a lot that needs to be taught. There's a huge pool of information that needs to be spread out. You don't stick to just one subject. Even if you do come back to it once in a while. You know, you never reach a point where good teaching doesn't need to be done anymore. Because all of us need to grow. Preaching is something that there is a continual need to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. It takes a lot of patience because sometimes it takes a while for ideas to sink in. But preaching is a continual need. That's why we encourage so often that we need to come to services to learn God's Word. You can't get it just on your own. You'll stick into the same rut of the things that you typically study. I'm going to end it there because that's a short lesson. But I want to, for those of you that have these, I'm going to start learning a little bit about our topic for the month is Bible reading. Now, one of the things that I've mentioned this morning, I want to expand on a little bit, is how do you learn to memorize a verse? And part of it is reading the context. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 17, because our memory verse for this month is Acts 17:11. In that topic, we're going to back all the way up to chapter 17, verse 1. So now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." And Jason has welcomed them, and they are all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. They stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things, and when they had received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they had arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And this then comes then where our memory verse comes in. Now these, the Bereans, in that synagogue, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. How's that? Thessalonica, they rejected what Paul said and set the city in an uproar and caused things to be too hot for Paul and Silas to stay around. What's made it different? For they received the word with great eagerness. They wanted to learn what Paul had said. And not only that, it says also examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. What things? The things that Paul was teaching. Now, if you remember the context, then it becomes a little bit easier. Instead of just being a set of words, one after the other, that you're trying to memorize and get the proper order, you can talk about the story. So for everybody, starts out, "Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica." Why? For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether These things were so. Okay? A lot easier to do it that way. Trying to just remember the order. Now, and when you do that, you know, yeah, every once in a while you get a word slightly changed or slightly missed, but you got the basics of it. And when you got the basics of it, then you can refine it to get the exact words a little bit better. But it's a lot easier to remember, basically, what, there's about 3 or 4 points in that verse, than to remember the 30 words that are in there. I like 3 or 4 better. So that's how you do it. One of the things that I wanted to get across to this week is what we talked about this morning and what we talked about this evening. Reading the Bible is good for us. Learning it is necessary because we have to confront false teachers. We have to be able to teach people on the world. There has to be a reason why people should be here and not going to, the say, like the Baptist church down the street. What's different? What does the Bible actually say? Which means we need to read it. We need to learn it. And I hope you'll think about those things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the celebration.